Hello and welcome to Build Momentum, a show where we explore thought leadership and education. I'm Sarah Williamson, the founder of SWPR Group.
And I'm Katie Lash, the director of the East Central Educational Service Center.
Together we explore how to leverage key partners, your constituencies, and the media to authentically impact your organizations and the leaders who champion them. We can't wait to get started, so let's dive into today's show. Okay, wow, we are so excited today. We have the pleasure of having Oliver James on our show. And if you haven't heard about Oliver, he's a TikTok sensation who recently learned to read through the support of his fans on BookTok. Oliver James, it's such a delight to have you on our show today. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Will you start by sharing your story with us, with all of our listeners and with us?
Okay. What part do you want me to start from, the TikTok version or before?
Let's start at the beginning.
Oh, okay. If we take it back to enough where we can handle on, you know, just with the time we probably have.
Yeah.
From when I was a child, it was a rough time for me coming up. I was abused in elementary school and didn't know it. I went through, you know, that system of, you know, trying to unwind what happened to me as a child to a now, you know, everyday learner and reader. I didn't learn how to read for almost 30 years, I would say, of my life. The past like 3 years, I've really focused on trying to change that. I really ramped it up not too long ago on TikTok and told everyone that I couldn't read. And it kind of unwinded my life and started to open up new doors for me to start learning how to read. So I've been on this journey now since about October with everybody on social media to become a more efficient reader and to overcome some of my childhood traumas that I was endured with, I guess.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, Oliver, I was checking out some of your TikToks, by the way. And so I have a couple of questions in a row here. On one, you were kind of talking about it. You like kind of discovered through your TikTok journey, like you had this eureka moment of sorts that like you discovered you weren't reading. So I was just curious as I was watching that, you were like, I kind of didn't know I didn't read until now kind of thing. And so I'm curious, what made that become obvious? At what moment were you like, hey, I can't read and I'm going to tell my TikTok community? Like, what was that moment?
It was a buildup of life, I would say first, you know, that it's not something that you're just going to be just like, oh, today I'm going to be bold enough to do something that's, you know, one of the hardest things I'm ever going to do in my life that I thought, you know. So I would say it's hard to answer the question. It's a buildup of, I don't know, like of emotions, I guess you can say. I don't even know. I mean, it's hard to answer the question. As I go on, I think I can answer it more.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, I don't even know, to tell you the truth.
No, and I think that's just fine. I was just wondering if somebody like presented you a document or something and all of a sudden you were like, I'm frustrated, I'm going to tell TikTok. But you just said it's like a summation of a bunch of things.
Yeah, well, my lady brought it to my attention to talk to TikTok about struggles. It wasn't supposed to be too much about like reading. I wanted to be a motivational speaker so bad at that time. And I still like am in that process. I didn't understand like what it takes to be what you want to be. Like, so when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know what it all means, but I have this dream of becoming, you know, this motivational speaker of like, I don't know, like, and being him, like, I can't explain it. And every time something gets in the way of that, it's a release of like that, you know? So that was a part of that time. Like, I was just in a moment and I'm like, I want to be a speaker and I'm looking these things up and I'm researching, I'm doing all these things. And I'm like, I can't freaking read. I'm like, oh, I wish I could just read. I'm just so mad. I'm like, because if I could read, people would know I could do this. I could do this. And I just finally was like, read, go tell people you can't read. And my lady was like, yeah, you need to be honest. Just tell them you can't read. And then you can work on reading. And then I was like, oh, so just get rid of the fear and then become a reader. And I'm like, cool. And I just like ran outside and was like, what's up? I can't read. I'm like, so, and I'm like, there, now it's out. So what do I do now? And that's what's been happening since October. Like I put it out there, but I'm like, I'm still trying to learn what is what, because I'm like, I know there's this destination I'm trying to get to and as a speaker, but this reading journey is first. I can see that this has to happen first. Like this all needs to develop. I need to become this better reader so then I can become that better speaker. So I don't know. It's like a journey together of its one. It's like a love duo.
I love that.
No, I love that. That's exactly what I was curious about, Oliver. So I think you answered that question so well that really it's the story of like how it was impeding your career and it didn't really catch up to you until all of a sudden that you were like, I need to unlock the world through reading. Yeah. That's awesome. No, I mean, good for you for like just sharing that story with the world. And so then I have another question. So I was a teacher, then principal. I don't know if I even told you that. Teacher, principal. Now I work with a bunch of school districts. So I'm still like pretty closely connected to the school setting. And so I can't help but wonder, my teacher hat is, do you think that your teachers understood the magnitude of your struggle in reading? Or like, I reflect on this, like some of our systems in place, we might not notice that a kid is struggling because you're clearly pretty verbal. Like you could share your story when you're talking. A lot of kids can kind of hide that they don't know how to read because they can talk their way through it or they can find strategies to kind of like, we don't actually necessarily see the struggle, which is obviously is a thing that teachers will always continually work on. But do you think that that was your story that they didn't really know? Or do you think that they knew and like, it was just, I'm just curious. Do you think people knew that you were struggling?
Yeah, I think people knew I was struggling in a lot of things. I just think it was at that time wasn't something that people were willing to point out, you know? So that's just how it kind of goes. You know, no one wanted to take blame for me. Everyone had a part in it. You know, they created me, you know, you got to realize. So no one wants to take that responsibility on. So it's just like, just keep him alive. Just keep pushing him, man. As long as he's, you know, as long as he's all right, he's here. Cool. Like, all right, just let him through this year. Like, let him through life this year. Like, it's like, why? Like, well, as long as he gets through life this year, it's fine. You know, it's like, but at some point in time, you know, now being a father, I have to realize that in life, you're a big part of who your, you know, children are going to become. And I have to look at it like that, like from that beginning part, and then see all the people who will play a part of this game where I'm going to have to pay as a father. You know, it's true. So who's my teachers? Who's this? Who's in his life? Where is he at? What's going on? And then I have to trust those people to do the right things, you know, teach my kid the right things and let him be safe in certain environments. Like, so it's all big, you know, it all, there's a lot of parts in it that wind down in this. I think I would say for teachers out there, who would want to know how, you know, a kid is struggling, just let him be himself and then entertain his world. You know, that's what I would say. Like, you know, you have a kid who swears and curses in class, then ask him, how do you learn the curse words? You know, don't yell at him. And then ask him, how many does he know? Cool. Then he'd be like, well, why are you cursing the class? I'm like, if you want to curse, just wait till class is over and me and you can sit in class and curse if that's what you want to do.
I love that.
You know, so like, then it gives them options of being like, oh, I don't care that you curse. I just didn't want you to do it in my class with the other students. I don't want you putting your bad energy on them. That's all. But if you want to curse, you're more than welcome to hang out with me after class and we'll curse it out. Like, again, it's like that changes the perspective of their minds now. Now you're starting to see like, what? Like, you're willing to meet me halfway? Like, you're willing to hear me? Like, or something's like, yeah, dude, I hear you. Like, what you think? Like, I'm human. Like, I know what you're going through. Like, you know what I mean? I get it. And I think that's how you can figure out more about the students. You know, just see how they behave, see how they operate, and then meet them in their world. And then be like, oh, crap, I was just living with you for a little bit. And I see that you're going through this stuff. Like, you know, if I have any experience on it, I might be able to help you. But if you live in their world for a little bit and just meet them wherever they're at, they'll be more than happy to share everything they want to share with you. I would have, but they weren't willing to meet me in my world. I had to meet them in their world. You know, that was like pouring water into oil. You know, it wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. It was like pouring water in hot oil. That ain't going to work. It's not a good mix.
Oliver, I want to share with you interesting. You just made me think of a really kind of a moment change for me in thinking when I was a principal. I had a kiddo in my office and she was just letting me have it. I mean, I was all of the words I was. And it changed my thinking on in that moment. Sometimes like this girl, she was just really trying to hurt my feelings, right? And again, it wasn't about me. Like she wasn't trying to hurt my feelings. Like she was having feelings and I was the person that was sitting across from her in that moment, right? And so she's just going and all of a sudden she goes, aren't you the principal? And I'm like, yeah, I'm the principal. And she's like, why are you letting me cuss? And I was like, I'm not letting you, but I can't necessarily think of anything productive to help you right now. So I'm just giving you your space. And just saying that, she turned around and she was like, huh, well, and then she talked to me like the whole story and we were able to work through it. And it was this moment of like, she was like, why are you letting me do that? I wasn't letting you, but I don't have a better answer. And but then we could connect. We connected so well that day mm-hmm. of like, we got through it.
Yeah.
And if I had been mad about that at the beginning of the cussing moment, if I had been mad, we wouldn't have gotten that far. Like, there was no reason for me to be mad. It was not about me. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. I see where you go with that. Like, I have this really like good emotional kind of, I guess you can say, like, connection with myself now, you know, and I can tell that since I didn't learn to read, I learned different types of way of maneuvering through the world. And one of those things are emotions. I'm very good with like feeling out emotions for some reason. And I don't know if I could be a teacher because those mini breakthroughs, I would think I would be crying every day. Like if I had a breakthrough with it, because I know what they do. That's the emotional thing that I get. That's the thing that I wish teachers felt the way I feel, because many teachers out there, I feel like, would enjoy their teaching experience. Because if you really think about what you experience when you have a breakthrough with a young person's mind, you literally just put like a magical spell into their brain now to understand that they can be heard. And now they're like, dang, this is the first time I've ever been heard before. Like, that's a breakthrough. In their mind, they're like, what the freak just happened? Like, how did some, I can be heard? And they're like, that was the first time I actually ever like flipped out and then got hurt. And now they got to learn the next steps. You know, someone comes and teaches them, like, okay, well, you can't use this as your power. You know, now you have to learn, don't abuse this. Don't abuse your outbreaks. But, you know, just understand that they're necessary for certain causes, maybe a positive cause, not to gain nothing, but to give something. Like, you teaching these little things, like, and I don't know if I could be a teacher because I would understand what that feels like to now be able to imprint that into little people. I didn't get that imprint into me. Those things are happening to me now as most, you know, like I'm doing them to myself. I'm giving myself these healings and overcoming my own problems and, you know, putting it out there on the world. But if I can give it to a young person before it gets damaged, you know, you save them before everything kind of gets too out of whack with them. And I think, you know, especially like having, you know, someone like that and, you know, around students and just young people would change everything about them. I would look at it for myself. I would have loved that a platform just to have been heard, like for my outbursts. Just let me can you hear them? Like, can you hear them yet? I'm like, how much do I have to keep doing till you finally just sit back and be like, you know, like, yo, all right, dude, like, here's the stage. What, go burst out, like, scream out whatever you want to yell. Like, tell me, what is it? So we're here. We're listening. What do you want to say? And I'm like, I can say it any way I want. Like, dude, just like, we're here to change it. Whatever you say, we're going to try to change some things from that. Like, oh, all right. Well, like, it just, you probably won't even know. I'm going to have to come back on this one. I'm like, I don't even know what to think about. I've been built up so much. I got a lot. I got to go rethink about this thing. And, you know, That place is hard for adults to accept because, like, then, you know, you feel like you lost everything you had to go through, you know, but that's how I look at it. You know, you let it go and give the students this space to kind of teach you how to teach them. You know what I mean? And then,
yeah,
but that's hard, you know, because you did all your work. You went to college. You went through all these hardships. You done forgot the whole purpose of teaching. You went through all the struggles and you're like, look at them not struggling at all. Let me, you know what I mean? And you're like, well, that's the, don't let them, don't take it all away from them. Take all the struggle away. Give them joy now, you know, after your pain, you know, they're going to go through pain too. Now show them what joy looks like after pain. Don't show them what misery looks like after pain. Like, that's what a lot of people are doing, running around looking miserable. And then we're showing the kids what it looks like after you get older. I'm like, that is the most terrible thing in the world. I would never want to get old. So I'm like, hold on, why don't I be joy? So then the kids will be like, I want to kind of be like him when I get older. I'm like, I want to be like me when I get older. And I'm like, so I'm like, that's good. Like, that's a good thing, I think. Like, so if we put that experience in the classrooms, teachers will have a much better outcome in life. And the students will have a better, in younger experience, regardless of how they act.
Yeah, that's incredible. Oliver, this is so inspiring. I mean, I wish so many teachers could hear this. I know teaching is hard. And I'm not a teacher, but I am a coach. I coach a couple different sports for my kids, and I've had some very difficult kids. And I've tried to apply some of these practices with them where I'm not responding or reacting, but letting them have their space. And it makes a big difference because you know what the way they're behaving isn't about us. And I think that's what we all have to remember. It's not about us, yeah. Like you said, Katie. These are small people going through massive trauma, and that's heartbreaking. And if we could just stay in that space, I mean, I know teachers day in, day out, it's different than coaching a couple times a week. Like, it's easy for me to say, right? I know. But we will just make such a difference for these kids. And if it's just that one adult that takes that time, it could transform that kid's life.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at it. It's true. Mm-hmm. It's 100%. I wanted to say that if we could figure out how to make, and then one of my main goals is like to try to make people understand the value of choice, but not like, not just the simple value of choice. I'm talking about digging deep into the choice and being like, so I could choose to be happy even when I'm sad. You'd be like, yo, if you want to give it a try. Now, it's going to be hard. But if you break that barrier to be able to pull yourself out of sadness into a smiling joy of laughter, you will be the most joyful person on earth. Because now you have learned how to, you know, overcome things that are way beyond, you know, people's comprehension in some ways. Like, you're literally like, okay, I'm going to value my choices so deep that I'm going to choose the emotion I give myself no matter the circumstance I'm in. Like, that's deep for me. Like, I start to think about that. And I look at that and I'm like, I could be in a bad circumstance and choose to laugh with joy right now. You'd be like, yeah. I'm like, give it a try. I'm like, it's hard, but who benefits from that? You. You know, you start to think like, hold on, I don't have to ever be sad. I'm like, no. I'm like, it's sad. It does hurt. You lose a family member, you got to be sad. No, they taught you should be sad, but you can smile at a funeral if you want to. And like, it's like, but why would I choose to smile? I'm like, why wouldn't you? Why would you choose to put that type of gunk into your brain? When you choosing to be mean and angry and sad, or that's a poison in your mind. I wouldn't want to choose that for no reason. Your mom passed away. I'm like, I'm going to probably smile after this cry. Like, why? I'm like, because why would I want to stay in this? You can die in this This is misery. No, I'm like, she's already gone. I love her to death, but I'm going to smile now. I'm like, I think she wants me to be happy. I'm like, and push all those emotions into her afterlife. Don't push that pain in there. I'm like, no, we're going to be happy. But that's hard. And when you can think about that, like, okay, I can overcome these things. I can do that. I'm like, imagine what type of teacher you could be. Like, if you think about that, like, you're like, I can control my own choices and emotions. I'm like, yes. So that means in any circumstance, you get to see pleasure out of some of the kids' pain. That's amazing. That's good. Now you're going to be good to them because you're going to bring them good when they're in the worst moments of their life because you're not connecting to them. You're not, you know, oh, they're acting out. I got to be like, you know, emotionally connected to it. No. You can love their pain, love their bursts, outbursts. Love it. Like, I love them in the outbursts like that. Like, yes, you can love that. You're like, you can choose to love that they're not behaving in your class. Choose to be like, wow, I have such a wild antic kid. He's pretty cool. Like, wow. I'm like, those kids are looking for a teacher like that. A teacher that's like, all right, dude, like, you're doing the old jump on the desk thing. Cool. All right. Well, anybody else want to jump on a desk? Let's all jump on a desk. Like, wow. I'm like, all right. Well, I mean, if he wants to act out, act out. Like, if it gets to a point where we got to take it, we go there with every step. But I'm never going to entertain it. As soon as, I don't care if the kid's removed from the class. As soon as it's done, everybody comes back in and be like, all right, well, we're all back. Anybody else want to jump on the desk? Let's have some fun. Like, okay, no, okay. You never have to worry. That the kids will start to see, like, how come you never, like, you don't allow him to change you? I'm like, no, I'm teaching you something now. No one changes you but you. That's it. No one changes you, but he was doing what he was doing. I was in complete peace. I'm good. No one changes me but me. And that's what the teachers need to be able to teach to a student. Because now they're like, wow, like, no one can make me be, like, ugly. No one can make me be fat. No one can make me be stupid. You're like, no. That person called you dumb. That hurt you? You're like, do you see he did all that? I didn't. Out. Is he out? What are we talking about again? Who was that person in the class? You'd be like, how do you do that? I'm like, why don't you do that? You know, it's not how. Like, why don't you do that? Why would you allow someone else to change you? Never, ever. And when I was growing up, I was the master of that. I wanted to change the teacher. I wanted to see if she was or he was really nice, if they really, really liked teaching, if they really, really wanted to be here. I'm like, let me see if you really are who you say you are, because I don't believe you. I'm like, I believe you're somebody else. And to be sure, 9.9 times out of 10, they weren't who they were. That I broke them. I was that kid that'd be like, yeah, they're going to quit. They were like, but the verge of quitting. They're like, I don't care. They would get to that level where they would almost call me the N-word. Like, you little. And I'd be like, wow, I knew you were racist. I'm like, I was that kid. I pushed them. I pushed them so far. And I knew it. I knew it was going to be that way. But then you would get one person who would just make me who I am now. Like, who were resilient to my outbursts. And it made me wake up. It made me be like, so maybe you are one of the ones. You're one of the good ones. I'm like, all right, well, I'll give you good me when I'm around. And I would treat them good. They would be cool with me. I would be perfect. That's it, because they would be real with me. I'm like, oh, they are. Yeah, he got a little issue here and there, but yeah, he's who he is. I'm like, I'm not going to give him a hard time. I'll be good in his class. And I would. And that's probably what's happening with 9 times out of 10 to most of the kids in your class and classes with other students and teachers.
Are you an education leader, the leader of an ed tech company, or a member of an organization supporting education? We continue to hear from leaders like you who have a story to tell, a message to share, or an important initiative that needs greater awareness. 3 years ago, that's exactly what we heard from Doug Roberts, the CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, when he approached SWPR Group. This led to the launch of a groundbreaking new award that was unlike any other in EdTech. The SWPS Choice Awards, judged exclusively by K-12 superintendents, set IEI on a path to market dominance, increasing vendor partners and superintendent members by more than 30% year over year. Jamie Candy, the CEO of Edmentum, shared with SWPR Group the EdTech company's desire to tell district success stories and to elevate the leaders behind their organization in a more thoughtful and strategic way. Throughout the past 2 years, SWPR Group has established consistent and regular media coverage, authored compelling op-eds, and secured interviews highlighting success stories while also inserting Edmentum into timely topics like AI with national reporters. At SWPR Group, we provide public relations, communication strategies, and thought leadership support for today's changemakers and the brands they champion. We work together with our clients to bring their mission to life by consistently delivering high-quality content, creative communication strategies, and transformational results. What story do you want to tell? Reach out to us using the link in the show notes or visit our website at swpr-group.com.
Oliver, you made me really reflect on something, though. Like earlier in this, when I just said, like, oh, it wasn't about me. Like if a kid is, there is actually a fine balance there, too, though. Again, being in the classroom, being a teacher, principal, like principal wasn't always popular, right? Like I was not always coming into like when it was a fun time always. And so I also think, so not taking things personal because somebody's having a bad day, but also riding the line of like, when I know I messed up, maybe I did do something that set off the kiddo and I need to own that too. Like it wasn't, if I took away their cell phone, I should probably predict that they're going to be upset, right? Like yeah. I shouldn't expect that like no one's upset by that because I too would be upset by that if somebody came in and did that, right? And so sometimes it's thinking about like, was I part of the equation as a teacher? And sometimes I was the problem. So I need to know that and apologize and say, I know I angered you more than I needed to. And I was like, but I think sometimes we're so mad at the kid. And when like, sometimes we did it and not on purpose or not with that goal. Or, I mean, I hope people don't have that goal. But I think for me, a learning opportunity was that I had to be like, I frustrated them. And I need to know that I did frustrate them. And no wonder that like, again, sometimes we ask kids to like, if I spoke to other adults in the same way that we spoke to kids sometimes, like the adult would be like, why are you yelling at me? But the tone that we use with kids to like say, sit down, like Sarah, mm-hmm. I'm like, Sarah, sit down. You'd be like, what's the matter with you, Katie? Well, we do that all the time with kids and we don't necessarily think about that, but that's a piece of the problem, right? So as you were talking about that, I think I was discrediting when I say, oh, it wasn't about me, it, by making it that simple. Sometimes I was the problem and I needed to admit that I was the problem.
Oh, right? Good point. Yeah,
that's it. That one is pretty deep because like,
yeah,
I agree. And I was one of those kind of kids who understood more than he needed to know. And I needed the teachers to understand that I understood that the school wasn't a real place. So it was hard for me because I understood I wasn't in a real place. I was like, this isn't a real place. You're acting. You're not a real person. You're acting as a teacher. You're actor. And I want to know who you are underneath the actor. And I was easy to see that. I was in this school and I'm like, man, and then they bring me into this fake place where people turn on their fake personalities and they be these fake people. And I'm like, but who are they underneath all these people? I'm like, who are they? They're somebody else. And I always try to connect that. I would be in like Walmart and I'm like, mom, why is she different in Walmart than she is in school? I'm like, she's not her same self. Like, her smile wasn't the same when you were with me. And she didn't say little smart comments like she says when she's in the hallways. Like, she's usually the smart comment, like, teacher. And she just said, hello, Oliver, today. I'm like, usually she's just like, get to class, Oliver. I'm like, I'm like, all right, I don't get that. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to find out who she is. I need to figure this out. Like, so I was in school literally trying to figure out, like, what's going on? Like, it's weird, but that was, I think, my whole way of life of in school, because I was like, it's true. Now being older, I'm like, wow, now that I do know that everybody had a role to play, they were coming to school as actors. I'm like, they took their job way more serious than it was. They became their jobs. I'm like, they were actors. They should have kept acting. Then I'm like, they broke their acting and came into their true selves. And then I realized, I was like, they're here because of their true selves. They don't like being themselves. Like, I'm like, this is all wild in here. Like, it was, to me, it was, that's exactly how it was going. Like, everyone there, when you're in school and you have teachers, you have to think of that. Like, you have to put that character on. And when that student makes you break that character and reveal who you are, that can be painful to a human being. You know what I mean? And like, that was who I was as a kid, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And now I look at it and I'm like, how do you teach that to teachers? Like that, you know, your character underneath your character has to be pure. If not, people like me are going to try to bring them out. Like, you're going to come to school and put on a character, but then the character underneath is somebody else. And that character underneath, you don't even like. I'm like, if you did, you would be here as you. You wouldn't have to put on a fake teacher character. Like, and that's what it was for a lot of teachers.
Wow. That's powerful.
That is powerful. You're making me do a lot of thinking today, Oliver.
I know. One thing you said, Oliver, I think rings true for me. It's one of our clients, Kareem Farah. He runs the Modern Classrooms Project. He's always talking about how we put these expectations on our kids that we as adults would never follow. For example, in class, don't look at your cell phone. Don't engage with yourself. You have to stay focused on class at all times. Sit in your seat, stay focused on. As adults, we're constantly on our phones, constantly checking, constantly talking to people throughout our day every 2 seconds. Why do we put these unrealistic expectations on kids that we as adults would never follow? So we just need to rethink this.
Yeah, you have to take a step back, I would say. That's what I just look at it like there could be so much more peace in these environments if teachers or people sometimes, if you just take a step back and be like, ah, I got caught up in it. And it's, you have to understand, it's like when you do get caught up in it, that's fun. Like you're like, ah, I got so caught up in it that I got emotionally entangled with a teenager. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, OK, I got to pull stuff back real quick. I'm like, why? Because I'm too deep in. Like, I'm realizing, I'm like, this is not a real thing. I'm acting. Like, I got to, who am I underneath this act? OK, this student needs to know that that's who I really am. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, in the end of the day, if a student pulls a person out of you that you don't like, if a person could pull that person out of you that you don't like, that should be enough validation for you to know that you need to go sit with yourself and deal with that person that got pulled out of you. No, if you got someone pulled out of you that you don't like, you should be able to go sit now with yourself and look at that and say, okay, forget all of what happened out there with everything with that. I came out. Who was that? Who was that angry person that came out? Who was that nastiness? Now I'll go sit with that person. Like, that's what you do. And then you'd be like, okay, that person can't ever come out again. But that could be hard. These are hard things for, you know, an adult to be able to overcome. And then you go in and try to teach. Think of that. Like,
it's a lot easier to blame the kid.
Yeah, much easier. It's great. It's like, okay, let's forget this. Let's put this on the kids. Then you wonder why it's always like, you know, it's like, it's hard for you to go tit for tat with kids because the kids are not living in that adult world yet. They don't know how it feels to go through all those struggles that you're choosing to be angry about. So think about that. You're like, you're choosing to pay bills to be angry about the bills you're paying. Like, it's like the kids don't see that yet. They're like, what? You're choosing to go to work to pay the bills. You're like, but you don't get why I got to go to work. I'm like, I know I don't get it, but I hope when I do get it, I choose to at least be happy with what I got. I'm like, that's what the kids are kind of feeling because they're not miserable yet. But we get miserable because we're like, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to pay these bills. Oh, I got to do this. I'm like, okay, well, what about you get to go to work? You get to do this. You get to breathe. You get the air. You get all this. You get to be alive today. How about you just get to do that today? Get that. And you'll be like, oh, if you put it that way, I'm like, now, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel pretty darn good. I'm like, well, then do good. What you got? Like, do that. And that's what kids can see. Kids can see that. It's a constant stress on adults. They see that. cook on us. They see all that. You know what I mean? And you used to remember it. I mean, if you look back when you were a kid, you're like, dang, I did used to look at the adults and be like, I seen all the gook on them and all the rules and everything that's got going on. And they take it so serious. You take all the rules so serious. That's what, when the kid's looking at the teacher, they're like, gosh, they take these jobs so serious. Like, they really think they're that person. Like, this sucks. And then they really will know deep things about your insecurities and be like, and say it. Like, she didn't have that weird walk. I'm like, it would, people would, and you'd be like, and you know that your walk is from something that you really don't want them to talk about. Like, you know, like, so think about these things. And you're like, they're not in that miserable world. They're in the world where they see things as pure as it can be. And they're like, that's what it is. It's darn, like, you know, and they see you wrapped up in it. So then when you lash back out, all you get to use is your authority of what's going on, the rules of this school. Like, what are the rules? Okay, I'm the leader. So I'm supposed to be like, you can't do this. Give me this. Know this. And this is like, oh, here you go. You're abusing your authority. Now you're really showing your true colors. You're showing who you really are. And then that's when you got to really go sit with yourself and realize like, dang, I just really took this job this serious and took phones from people and didn't. You're like, gosh, who the heck have I become? Like, that's when you got to really look at that. Like, who have I become? Like, wow. Like, I'm like, ugh, like, what is this mentally? It's a sickening. And like, dang, and that's, I don't know, like, that's how I kind of start to look at it as a, when you're a teacher in those ways.
Oliver, can you tell me a story? I'm just curious. We're going way off. I just am listening to you and you're giving me so many thoughts. Can you share a time that like somebody did like get through to you? Like, is there a teacher who changed your...
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me one of them? Tell me the story of a time you're sitting down and you're like, that one. My life is different now.
There's a few teachers I had like that. I would say... The one teacher that, like, when I used to be in, like, this school called, like, Centennial, it was, like, a special ed school. And I had a few people in that school. It was a school for people with special needs and, excuse me, and all they dealt with were kids who had really, like, you know, hard ways of learning. And I was one of the kids in the school who was kind of just had more of, I was there because of my behavior. It wasn't, you know, like, I was around kids that really needed a lot more help. And I, again, I was emotional type of kid. So I was like, I could see that these kids ain't got what I could do. So I would just humble myself and just kind of mind my business. But I didn't do anything extra. And then I remember a teacher coming to me one time after, and he was just like, I kind of can't remember, but I do. But I remember him being like, I remember my moment and feeling like, hey, was this one of those, like, because I was one of those kids that was like a smart, like I was a smart aleck. Like I could think, I remember in my mind thinking like, is this my moment when the teacher's going to be real with me? Like, is this going to happen? He's really going to be real with me? And then he did. And he was like, what the hell are you doing, man? And I was just like, what? He's like, what the hell are you doing, bro? Like, you obviously know you don't freaking belong here, right? And I'm like laughing in a way. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, but he's like, dude, you like, you know, like you pushed yourself to this far to get to a school here. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, gosh. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, ah, no, I'm like, I just don't like work. And this, and he's like, you're in a school now, Oliver, where you don't even need to do anything. And you get an A for just being here. Like, then that's the kind of school I was at. And then he was like, and you're feeling that, like, you know, he was like, and then all the other kids who can't do what you do, like, they want to be you so bad. And I was just like, what? And I'll be like, nah, they were like, man, they want to be you so bad, dude. I'm just like, ah, crap. And I'm like, all right, well. I guess I need to start kind of fixing this. And, you know, it was true. You know, they were being influenced by my behavior. You know, these were kids that had a lot of special needs. And it wasn't easy, but I did remember, like, that teacher. And, you know, I remember his name. His name was Mr. James, too. But he was a cool teacher. I had another teacher, too, that was a female. And she did the same thing. It was the same school. And I kind of feel like they all maybe came together and was like, let's just talk to this kid like we talk to each other. And, you know what I mean? And I remember her being like, hey, what's up? Come with me. And she pulled me inside the printer room. And, you know, and she was a beautiful teacher, too. So, you know, that didn't help either, because I was already like, you know, I was like eighth grade or ninth grade at that time. And I remember her being one of those beautiful kind of teachers. Like, she was always nice. She was pretty. Like, she had these ways about her. And I was like already respected her for that. And then, I, you know, I just chose to for some reason. And she pulled me into the printing room and she was just like, hey. She was like, I brought you in here because like I feel like you can step outside of the classroom setting and just kind of just come do some printing and stuff. Like, you ever use a printer? And I was just like, no. Like, you know, like a tiny little kind of, you know, I was an ignorant kid. I'm like, no. Like, you know, like didn't even know how to talk. And she was just like, well, come here. Let me show you. Like, you know, would you like to? And I'm like, sure. Like, I remember, and I can tell you this, I remember not feeling like I was in school. And that's why I can tell you was such a like a distinguished memory, because she pulled me out of my element. She put me in a different world for a minute. And I was just like, whoa, I feel like a normal person right now. And she's like, because you are. And we're trying to show you that, you know, we get it. You know, and she was telling me, like, you've been hurt. You know, you want to be angry. You want to be mad. She's like, okay, we all get it, Oliver. Like, but we're not that much older than you. And we are just here trying to just, you know, and just talking to me. And I'm like, all right, well, why didn't you just say that? Like, you didn't have to, you know, she's like, well, we're telling you now, like, just come in, just smile, just do the bare minimum. Like, you know, just be yourself, like, stop doing what I was like. And that was it. After that, that school's mainstreamed me back into my normal school. So I knew I was behaving well because they mainstreamed me back into my normal school and allowed me to go back to my normal school because I started to behave better. So I do remember, like, you know, what's so crazy. Like, I remember seeing the teachers after, and every one of those teachers I used to hug, and I still feel that same way about them, you know, all of them. Like, I don't know what it is about, but I think they all played a role in that time to just be like, hey, man, we got to do something with Oliver. Like, let's give him a little piece of what he would like. We know he would like this. And they did. And it was over. Like, I didn't even want to leave the school. I'm telling you that now. Like, I remember them putting me in my mainstream school, and I was like, I don't want to go to my mainstream school. I love it here. Like, this is like, it's much better. So yeah, that one, I am still now looking forward to hopefully going back to my hometown and being able to speak to that school. Like, I don't know, I just would love to do that one time.
Oh, that'd be a powerful full circle moment.
Yeah.
Our listeners won't get to see your face, but your face lit up talking about them. Like, your demeanor changed talking about them. And that was pretty special.
Yeah, that school was pretty cool. Like, they, you know, somehow, some way, I'm gonna figure out a way to give back to that school. They were some game changers in that school. Like I said, they all had its own problems in any way, but it helped me. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it just, they were so down to earth for me, and it changed me. It changed my whole perspective of school. After that moment, I was like, all right, I get it. Like, I know it now. Like, I think I finally broke. I was like, I don't need to act out anymore. Someone finally gave me the truth. Someone finally said, like, yeah, dude, you win. Like, we're trying here. Like, we're, you know, yes, we are who you think we are. And I was like, finally, someone admitted it. I'm like, okay, I can stop being bad now. And the problem with that was I've done it so long that I didn't know how to get out of it. So you do something for so long, and it's true. You get angry and stay mad for so long. You know, that led me all the way to prison. I'm not even lying to you. So I couldn't get out of it. I became defiant so much that I was like, this is me now. Like, I don't want to get out of this. Like, it was going to be too hard. I would have to start over in life.
Right. And sometimes you want to stay mad because it's that protective layer. Like, that's what protects you. So you don't know if you're not mad anymore, what's protecting you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard. Mm-hmm.
Oliver, do you associate behavior with reading? Like, when someone gave you an assignment that was hard, is that the moment that was often a piece of, do you think they played hand in hand or not necessarily?
Yeah. Yeah, most of my outbursts or anything that had to do with me acting out in class was when you gave me assignments that I couldn't, like, yeah, you gave me a reading assignment that I couldn't do, I would run out the classroom. Like, I would lose it. So anything that had to do with that. So that was a deep insecurity that I don't think teachers were, or at that time, were really aware of how traumatizing it was. Like, I can't even explain it to you. You know, I was willing to go to prison because of it. So think of how traumatizing it is. Like, I chose to make the decisions, like, you know, and choices I made because of me not knowing how to read. If I knew how to read, I literally would be that person. And I still am that person now. And I will sit here and be like, I could be like this. I can be the number one motivational speaker in the world if I could read, like the number one motivational speaker in the world. Like, that's what I think in my brain, and my brain believes it passionately. So in my head, I'm like, dang, the only thing that's holding me back is being just as good a reader as the number one speaker in the world. I'm like, why don't I just become just as good as a reader then? Like, you know, those things hard to like to admit and just follow through with, I guess you can say.
Look at you now, though. This is incredible. Thank you so much. Should we probably wrap up, Katie?
Yeah. Well, and yeah, with so many questions that are just based on what you said, Oliver, I think that wrapping this up, if folks want to learn more about your story, I mean, obviously TikTok, I already found you there, but where else can they contact you or get to know you?
Well, all of my platforms are Oliver Speak One. A lot of people, if they want to like put me in a position where they want me to speak to them or they're like a classroom or something like that, email me at oliverspeaks1@gmail.com. And that'll be the easiest way to contact me and like speak with me if they wanted to set up something to talk to me or have me speak to their students, because I know people do that as well a lot. And yeah, if you would follow me on all my social medias, then you'll see a lot of the stuff I post up. and keep this reading journey going and see where it takes me.
Love it. Well, I think it's going to take you to the number one motivational speaker in the world, if I hear you correctly.
Yeah. You know what? It's, you know, you put these type of things out there into the world, and I'll be it's hard to even fathom. But if I truly believe that the only thing holding me back is not knowing how to read that well, then yeah, I'm going to overcome that goal, because that I'm just going to focus on becoming one of the best readers I can possibly know in the world. And when that happens, then who knows what will come with it? That's how I look at it.
You're onto something. That's incredible. Thank you so much. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this powerful episode. Appreciate it, Oliver.
Thank you.
Good luck on your journey.
Yes.
If you're looking for more of this thought leadership goodness for your organization, you're in the right place. Visit us at swpr-group.com to learn more about how we work with education organizations and their leaders, superintendents, and influencers to increase your impact. Again, that's swpr-group.com. Thanks for tuning in today, and we will see you next time on Build Momentum.